Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the political campaign has moved to New Hampshire, one of the issues candidates have been talking about is the opioid epidemic. Here's Republican Chris Christie at a New Hampshire town hall meeting.
It can happen to anyone. And so we need to start treating people in this country, not jailing them. We need to give them the tools they need to recover, because every life is precious. Every life is an individual gift from God. And we have to stop judging and start giving them the tools they need to get better.
Officials in New Hampshire say the epidemic may have killed more than 400 people last year in the state, twice as many as in 2013. And the reason for that spike is something called fentanyl, which is the subject of an investigative documentary from Fusion called Death by Fentanyl. Mariana Van Zeller is chief investigative correspondent for Fusion. She's with us from NPR West. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And also joining us is producer Darren Foster, who also worked on this documentary. Darren, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's get right to this big question that many people may have. What is fentanyl?
Well, fentanyl is the most powerful painkiller on the market right now. It was synthesized by Janssen Pharmaceuticals in the 1960s, and now it's prescribed in patches, sprays, and lollipops. And in its fast-acting form, it's prescribed and approved by the FDA to treat breakthrough pain in cancer patients. However, there's 30 times more pharmaceutical fentanyl being made today than there was in 1995. Now, you know, this doesn't mean that there are 30 times more people suffering that need this kind of medication, but fentanyl very much follows in the footsteps of other opioid painkillers such as Oxycontin and Vicodin, where between 1999 and 2010, the number of these opioid prescriptions in the U.S. quadrupled. And alongside it, so did deaths from prescription painkillers. Painkillers are now the leading cause of accidental death in the United States.
And fentanyl, by the way, is much stronger than those other painkillers that you mentioned, right?
It is indeed. It's 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine.
And getting very popular on the street. Is there a street name for it?
There are several street names for it. It goes by Drop Dead, China White, the serial killer. And in Mexico, we found out it also goes by the name of El Diablito, the little devil, because it is so dangerous.
And you talk a lot in this documentary about the company that created Subsys, which is the spray form of fentanyl. And the company is called Insys. Tell us, Darren, about this company and how this product came to be.
Yeah, so, you know, Insys Therapeutics is a pharmaceutical company that basically got approval for Subsys, which is a fast-acting spray form of fentanyl, in 2013. They went public and became a Wall Street darling. They went up 700% in the first year of trading. And the thing about Subsys was that it would work fast in like 3 minutes, whereas other sort of formulations of fentanyl would be 10 minutes. But investigations have found, and our investigation also found, is that the company also sort of used questionable marketing practices to get this to a larger patient population than just breakthrough cancer patients.
You spoke with a former employee of Insys in this documentary who said she quit her job because she was tired of lying. Let's listen to some of your conversation with her.
It's real simple. It's only FDA approved for cancer patients with breakthrough cancer pain. If you don't have cancer and breakthrough cancer pain, no insurance company is going to pay for this medication. So if you call up and you tell them that the patient doesn't have cancer, it's automatically denied.
So instead, what were you doing?
They would always ask, does the patient have cancer? Uh-huh. That's what we would say.
So you do uh-huh. You'd
right.
Say yes.
But I'm not saying yes, right? I would just say uh-huh.
Isn't that a yes?
Well, that's what they did think. But I wasn't blatantly saying yes.
So, and that's what you were told that you had to do. You had to say, uh-huh.
Well, yeah. I could have done it the other way. I could have said no, and then I got denied, and then I don't get it approved, and then I'm not hitting my numbers, and I'm going to be reprimanded.
Wow. So, Mariana, are you saying in this documentary that this company is the reason why there's a fentanyl problem out there today?
No, there are two sources of the fentanyl, and that's what our investigation is about. We looked at the pharmaceutical source of this drug, which has a legitimate use as well. There are a lot of people out there with cancer pain that legitimately need this kind of medication. However, much like many of the other painkiller prescriptions available, it's being many times overprescribed. And what we found is that because it was so readily available, addicts started using it, squeezing the gel out of these patches and mixing it in with their heroin to give it an extra boost. And because it became so popular, the Mexican cartels, much like what happened with heroin about 10 years ago, they realized that there was a huge demand in the United States for this drug that wasn't yet a street drug. They're now making it. And the DEA suspected that Mexican cartels were involved in producing all this fentanyl that was ending up on the streets of the United States. I was actually in Sinaloa in August, just after El Chapo escaped from prison for the second time. And I started to hear a lot about fentanyl in the U.S. and about overdoses related to fentanyl. So while in Sinaloa, I started asking around for people if they'd heard of fentanyl, if this was something that the Sinaloa cartel was involved in. And a few months later, when we really started looking into and producing this documentary, we managed to find somebody who was willing to take us just a few weeks before El Chapo was actually recaptured. We were in his stronghold in Sinaloa and managed to speak to a couple of drug traffickers who told us before they were producing marijuana and shipping up to the United States that marijuana is not as popular now for them to make, in large part because of legalization in the United States. Mm. And then they started producing heroin in large quantities, and about 2 years ago, they found out that there was this huge demand for fentanyl, this new drug that they'd never heard about. They started calling it El Diablito, as I said, the little devil, because it is so dangerous to even touch and be around. But they hired a Colombian clandestine chemist. They paid him $50,000 to come up to Sinaloa. This is a drug-producing family, and teach them how to make fentanyl. And it paid off. Within a couple of months, they said they made their money back. And now they say, in many cases, that they're shipping more fentanyl than heroin up to the United States.
And the victims are people all around us in the United States. You spoke with a family in Massachusetts who have lost two sons to drug addiction. One of the boys died last summer from a drug overdose, and the family was in disbelief because he had cleaned up his life and had a spirit to live. They said, let's listen to this scene where Anne Ahern Avitable gets some news about her son Patrick's death from the medical examiner.
He told me that my son died from fentanyl, 100% fentanyl. I said, are you telling me that there was no heroin in the end? He said, not a drop. It was 100% pure fentanyl.
A lot of people would say, what's the difference? It's an overdose. What's the difference whether it was heroin or fentanyl? But for you, there is a big difference. What is it?
Yeah, there is a big difference because heroin may kill. Fentanyl will kill. They took him from us. It is. I know it sounds weird, but you know, in a world that people don't understand what's going on out there, in a world that people like us suffer every day for years and years, and it changes everything because my boy might be alive today.
Hmm. One of the most interesting things I thought was that you showed the numbers of how many people in the state of New Hampshire have died from overdoses, and the numbers for fentanyl in the last year are so much higher than heroin.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Over five times more people are dying from fentanyl right now in states like New Hampshire than they are from heroin. And yet you see the presidential candidates out there talking about this opiate epidemic and treating it as if it was a surprise in many cases that this is happening. And we've been covering this for so many years, and we see the effect that it's had on these communities. And we've spoken to so many families like the Avitables, and yet it seems that we're once again behind the curve on this. And we're talking about heroin when, in fact, it's fentanyl that is killing so many more people.
Well, Darren, one of the things that they're doing to deal with this is they're outfitting firefighters and authorities with Narcan, which can help in case of an overdose. But is there any move to just get rid of fentanyl that it may serve a good purpose for people who have cancer, but it's so dangerous for so many others?
Yeah. So what created this crisis, which, you know, the statistics sort of bear out, is the prescription painkillers. You know, it's very easy to say, you know, we need to stop the stuff that's coming from Mexico. Everybody agrees on that. But what are we going to do about the pharmaceutical stuff? It's a much stickier question because obviously there is a legitimate need for some of this medication, but how do we sort of rein in the overprescribing of it?
Yeah. The United States has under 5% of the world's population, and yet we consume over 80% of the world's painkillers.
Hmm.
You know, studies have been done that show that there are under a million Americans with the kind of cancer pain for which fentanyl was approved. But, you know, what they found, what some of these fentanyl companies found, is that if they can sell fentanyl for more common conditions like back pain or arthritis, they could sell to 30 times more people.
Right.
It's a much better business plan. And that's what we found in our investigation, that many of the times they're doing. They're marketing these pills for off-label use and for people who really shouldn't be taking fentanyl. And it's highly addictive, and just like OxyContin, it's creating a population of addicted people who then easily turn to heroin and now to this latest iteration of it all, which is fentanyl. The size of 3 grains of salt of it can immediately kill an adult man. It's incredibly powerful. So the fact that this is being mixed in or sold as heroin and that addicts are actually seeking it out, it's incredibly scary.
That's Mariana Van Zeller, chief investigative correspondent for Fusion, along with her producer, Darren Foster. Their documentary is called Death by Fentanyl. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. You can find out how you can see it. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.